Welcome to Poolesville Presbyterian Church. We are located in the town of Poolesville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolesville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You're always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Luke, chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. In his message titled, The Stranger at Your Side, Reverend David Williams tells us that because we are so busy with earthly things, we are typically blind to the lives of the strangers around us. We are missing what God is doing in their lives. We need to slow down and walk with everyone as if it were Jesus walking with us. Let us now join Reverend Williams as he explains God's Word.
Please be seated. High notes are harder to hit in pollen season. As we get ourselves into worship today, as we set ourselves into relation with God and one another, we stand as people who move through a very crowded world. Well, there are plenty of people that we know. Those networks of friends around us, those faces that are familiar to us. But so many of those people around us are not known to us. We don't know who they are. They pass by us, and we pass by them, and it's as if they don't even exist. And that makes us take certain attitudes towards the stranger, thinking them less, or not thinking of them at all. So this morning, knowing that every last stranger is beloved of God, and that love is often far from our hearts, let's go before God, admitting our blindness to the other in the prayer of confession. Please join with me in the praying of it. Loving and almighty God, our world is full of strangers. We pass them by the thousands every day, face after face, and they are quickly forgotten. Human beings drift by us like the shadows of passing clouds, and we forget that they live and love and suffer as we do. When we encounter the stranger, we're often fearful or dismissive or pay them no mind. Help us to remember, Lord, that in the stranger's voice, we can often hear yours. Help us to be mindful, Lord, so that we will not close ourselves off from those souls who might teach us your grace. Amen. Hear now the assurance of God's pardon. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ, who lived for us, died for us, and reigns in power for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation altogether. The past is finished and gone. Everything is fresh and new. Friends, what is the good news of the gospel? In Jesus Christ, we're forgiven. Amen. Our third scripture reading for today is drawn from Luke's gospel. I'll be reading from Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. That's 13 through 35 in Luke 24, and you can find that on page 90 of your Pew New Testament. Let's listen a third time for God's holy word. Now, on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, the things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it's now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back. And they told us they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they didn't see him. Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he was going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it's almost evening. The day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Weren't our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he's appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and in the minds of each and every one gathered here be acceptable in your sight, O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I've been on the road a lot this last week, rolling down to South Carolina with my dad in the car with me. My uncle passed away this last week after a blessedly short bout with pulmonary fibrosis, which is an ugly illness. My mom was down there all by herself, and well, she needed dad down there with her. And my dad doesn't like to drive much anymore, so it was on 95 we went. And we hopped on to that road and drove down south, and it had been a very long time since I'd spent that much time in the car with my father. It was a good 9 hours. It's amazing how much of that can be filled with talk. And it had been a long time since I'd been going down on 95, and how much of your focus is the road. That's all you're looking at. You're just looking at the road as it goes by and the trucks as you're passing them, and every once in a while, when you get to North Carolina, those strange anachronistic signs, you know, with Pedro on them. You never saw such a thing, and pun after pun, mile after mile on signs that have been there since I was a child traveling down south. We got down to Beaufort. I spent all of about 8 hours there, and then got on a train to come back up. I hadn't ridden a train up from the south since I was 16 years old, and so it had been a while. And traveling by train is different. It's very different. It's particularly different if you forget to pack lunch, and you have to rely on the dining car for vegetarian cuisine. there was a pizza. It's not delicious, it's DiGiorno, and I chose not to do that one. They also had the Amtrak vegan burger. Very polite and pleasant gentleman behind the counter said, you know, it really isn't that bad. It'll surprise you. I will confess that I was not surprised. But what was interesting about that travel was how very different it is than the other form of travel that I'm more used to. When you're sitting behind the wheel, you're focused on the road ahead of you. When you are sitting in the chair of your coach, well, for the first 4 or 5 of the 11 hours of that ride, you are focused on trying to get your sermon done and writing for other things, and then there's just the South passing by, which you can see. You don't see the highway, and you don't see your travels as you do the way we tend to, which is let's get up in the air and move as fast as physically possible so we can get over those places and get to where we're going. You just have to take the time and look. And so we rode through South Carolina, which there's really a lot of swamp there. You look out, oh, swamp. Oh, more swamp. Maybe it was the rain. I don't know. It seemed to be almost entirely swamp. But you see people, human beings by the side, and if you're going too fast, you can't see them. There's a lot of that zoom that the person goes by. But then you slow down in small towns and you get a feel for the flavor of the life of those communities. And what you see is that as you go north, the South is struggling. You can miss that on 95. But when you're going through towns where there are clearly houses that burned down 5 or 6 years ago and no one has bothered to touch them, when you're going by communities that are made up entirely of mobile homes that are rusted to the point of looking like ruins, and you would think they were if people weren't sitting on the porch of the place they have to live, if you weren't passing through little towns that are filled with stores, every one of which is empty, with signs that they are for sale, and those signs are old and faded. It gives you a feel for the community you're passing through. You have the time to look at it in its face and know it a little bit. Because in so much of the way that we live now, we rush through things. When you are in your box, traveling from your box to your box, you miss things. You don't see the people around you, don't see the place you are, you don't even see strangers for strangers. In the same way that, at least in Annandale, you recognize your neighbors by not their faces, but the faces of their cars. You know? Oh, I know, there goes Jim. I recognize that Tahoe. We don't see each other. We become blind to one another, and especially blind to the reality of the human beings who walk by us, every one of whom is a child of God, every one of whom is a person as we are a person. We just don't see this world that is so full of strangers around us. And in that, in our failure to see, you and I share that certain failure that seemed to come so often in the very early church. It's been a theme through these weeks as we've danced between Luke's story and John's story, and now back into Luke's story, that people will see Jesus right there and yet have no clue that that's who they were talking to. Two disciples who were walking up along the Emmaus Road had that blindness. They'd experienced hardship. They were struggling with their sorrow at the loss of this person they had had so much hope in, and they encounter a stranger, just a person. Their eyes did not recognize him, were kept from recognizing him. They couldn't see who he was. And so they have this stranger with them, and they don't know how to respond to this person when they ask a simple question. What are you talking about? What is this thing that seems to be preoccupying you? And they respond to the stranger with simple words. Well, you haven't heard? You haven't heard about Jesus? You haven't heard this thing that just happened? And then they go into a short form of the narrative that they had received. Things had gone on. They'd heard some exciting stories. Well, you know, women are telling us that he wasn't in the tomb anymore, but, you know, maybe people kind of went and saw that, but, I don't know. Other folks went, and they went to the tomb, and they didn't see him. They meet this stranger, and when they tell him this story, he seems annoyed with them, troubled, irritated, and goes on. You know, I mean, generally strangers don't say, "Hey, you're an idiot." You know, you just, what? How do you not believe this thing, given what you've just told me? And this stranger talks to them about their Jesus, this Jesus that just had passed, that they had just tried to describe in ways that show that they know this person as fully as they do. And they walk with him for a while, and he continues to go on, and they finally reach their destination, and it's getting late, but the stranger is moving on. He doesn't want to be with them. He wants to keep going, but they say, "Look, it's late. Please stay with us. Please stay." And so he does. And they sit down, and this is still a stranger to them, and they sit at table together, and they share a meal with one another. And the stranger breaks bread, and suddenly in that breaking of the bread, they realize in that moment of sharing who they are with. And he's gone. But they know who they were standing with. Weren't our hearts stirred? Did they not burn in us when we were with this person? Realizing we are walking with Jesus is hard for us. We don't see it in one another. Because we are so busy. We are focused on the road and the trucks and our schedules and our rush and our bustle. And we don't see the Jesus around us. We aren't able to open our eyes to that different person, that stranger who is, in their own way, bearing Christ in themselves. It's easy to miss as we are rushed and we are isolated and we are distracted. It's an easy thing to miss. I found myself distractionless as I waited for that train. Yemisi, South Carolina. Anyone ever been to Yemisi, South Carolina? The giant sprawling metropolis of Yemisi, South Carolina. The place where the Amtrak station is there looks very much like it did the last time I was in Yemisi, when I arrived at night on a sleeper train in 1986. It looks that way, only a little, you know, like not much has been done to it since then. I was just at a crossroads. And I was dropped off by a friend of my uncle's. And there was the little station, and just a couple people puttering around, and there was nothing to do but walk around that crossroads. And I walked around the crossroads for a little bit and saw there a couple little churches, you know, the little southern storefront churches, you know, First True Apostolic Baptist Church of the Redeemer King, or, you know, one of those kinds of congregations. And I wandered more into what appeared to be the mall area, just a couple of little stores all closed. One of them was a small engine repair shop and sign manufacturer or whatever, and there were all these handmade signs by the side of the store. And then, faded a little bit from rain and sunlight, there was a picture of Jesus standing, leaning against a garage. It had been painted on plyboard and had probably been sitting there for years. Just a little faded, a crack along one side. Jesus sort of bent in a little bit like this because the plyboard had faded. Jesus was everywhere in that little community, churches and images. And so I wandered back to the train stop, and people were gathering there. Just a couple of folks, all from right around that area. There weren't a lot of Yankees wearing New Balance shoes standing around. And I struck up a conversation with someone who'd been there when I got there, and it wasn't clear who he was, honestly. He appeared to know everything that was going on and was striking up conversations with everyone there about when the train was coming in, and he would check his phone, and he would confirm its time, and would confirm that it was delayed, and so I thought, maybe this is the station master. But then, he was wearing a long, not recently cleaned sweatshirt that went down to his knees, and ragged jeans, and sandals with socks in the holes of them. And a set of those glasses that the hipsters up in Brooklyn wear, and you know, those thick rim things, only the lenses in them were very thick and corrective. And we got to talking, and he lived across the street in a shack that next to it was this thing he'd made out of abandoned windows. It was a building in which was a washer dryer. It wasn't clear if they worked, and I wasn't sure if he was just the station master or the crazy guy who lived across the street or some combination of the both. But as we got to talking, it surfaced that I was a pastor. It tends to get to that. And I asked him about the churches there and what they did. And he asked me, "Well, you're a pastor. When do you think Jesus is coming back?" And I said I didn't know. I wasn't sure. And that our main task is to see Jesus in the faces of everybody around us and to live as if they were Jesus, right there in front of us. And he smiled and said that was all right, and before the conversation could go on, the train pulled into the station. And I asked his name as we were parting after giving my own, and he said, "Yeshua," which is, of course, Hebrew for Jesus, and then parted. I don't know what that meant. But I expect he has lots of conversations with people on the train as they are there on whatever roads they're on. So as you journey, wherever you journey, take the time to talk with that stranger. Realize who they are, who they have the potential to be, and live your life as if Christ is present in every last soul around you. That's the Emmaus walk for all of us. And in the time we take to care for others, we break that bread of life with them. Let that be so, for you and for me. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Williams, for an inspiring message. The congregation from Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
Our lives are filled with journeying. We are people constantly on the move. But as people who are walking through life, constantly encountering new folks and strangers and people who are different from us, what we are asked to do as we encounter this story from Luke, this story of two men walking on a road who encounter a stranger who walks that way with them for a while, is to remember that in each and every face, in each and every person, there rests the possibility that that person on that day is the Christ you are standing in encounter with. As you journey through this week, as you journey through these days ahead, hold that story close. Because sometime this week you will talk with someone, or walk with someone, or see another who can be Christ to you. Or, because you are a stranger to them, you can be the Christ they encounter. Let the truth of that journey and that story guide you, so that to that stranger your word will be grace and welcome, and so that as you share that moment of life together, it will be a moment like the breaking of the bread, when they will recognize that there's something more at work in all of us. That's our calling in this life as we walk this way. Let's live that out. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with all of us today, tomorrow, and our whole lives long. Amen.